Acts 21, we're looking this morning at the first 14 verses of that chapter. I'd like us to stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Acts 21 and verse 1, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren, and abode with them 1 day. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed, and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we are thankful again that we can read this account of biblical history, an account of things that happened in the first century, where the Apostle Paul was chosen by thee to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and where he was faithful to thee, and where he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many were being saved. Thankful also for reminding us as we study this that there was also opposition to the truth, and that we can understand that today as well, if we're going to be faithful to thee, that there will be opposition to the truth. I pray that thou wouldst help us to be individuals who are walking carefully with thee, walking circumspectly, that we can know thy leading, that we would be faithful to thee, and allow thee to use us for thy glory in this day and age in which we live. We pray for anyone here that is unsaved today that they might come to understand their need to know thy forgiveness, that they might see that they are a lost sinner, they might understand that there's only one Savior, and that's thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They would want to look to thee and be forgiven and saved through the blood of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that thou wouldst guide me in the preaching of thy word, that I'd be faithful to the text. I pray that thou hast given me the strength of voice to deliver the message that thou hast had me to give, that thy will would be accomplished here in this place. Father, we pray that all that is said and done here would be for thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is Trusting in the Will of the Lord. Trusting in the Will of the Lord. And as we continue in this chapter, I believe that a key verse for us to keep in mind is found in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, and we've looked at that already. But I believe that's an important verse as we look at chapter 21 and as we look at even this church, Harvest Baptist Church, in the year 2016. And the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he is speaking to the elders in Ephesus, and he's reminding them, first of all, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. It's impossible to be the man of God that God wants a person to be if he's not taking care of his own spiritual needs. If he's not taking the Word of God and following it carefully, humbly, and obediently. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he had many enemies. As I mentioned in Sunday school already, he had many enemies, and their goal was to tempt him, to try to find fault. When the apostles were preaching in the book of Acts, they also faced enemies who wanted to stop them from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our world is no different today. There are those who will try to find any way that they can to silence the man of God and the word of God from being proclaimed. And so we need to be careful to take heed to yourselves. And then it says here also, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. To feed the church of God. This week I was asked to listen to a message. The person that gave that link to me was impressed with the speaker and wanted me to listen to it and tell him what I thought about it. And so I listened to the man, and the man had his Bible open on the pulpit, just like I had mine open. I don't know what text he started with. He never read anything from the Bible. And then as he was trying to support his message, he used illustrations from evangelists from the past century. He didn't look to the Bible for examples. He used other men from the past century and said, look what these men, look at what they did, what they accomplished, and we can do it too. And the men that he chose, if he would have done his research properly on those men, he would have found that none of them is a man that's worth following. But you see, the danger is that because this man was preaching and he was hitting on an emotional topic that people are interested in, and apparently this man that gave me that link was impressed with that. But the Bible says that we need to feed the church of God. Feeding doesn't come from stories. It comes from the Word of God. That's what we're fed on. That's the place that we go to look for examples, to look how do we live the Christian life. And it tells us here the reason why we need to be feeding. And it says there in verse 28, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So it's very important to be reminded for myself as a pastor here that those that are here and are saved today, you were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I have no right, I have no authority, I have no business to try to minimize that precious blood and try to think that we can get away with things that God says we can't do. Very important for us to understand, for me as a pastor to understand, who owns every one of us. And I don't own anybody here. God is the one who is the one who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to purchase everyone here that is saved. And everyone here that is saved today belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to him. And we need to learn how do we walk with him. And we've talked about it before, but when I read the Bible, it tells me that in order for us to learn how to walk with Him, we need to have leaders. That's what God says. He doesn't tell us to take our Bibles and lock ourselves into our houses and do our own personal Bible study, and then now we're going to do what we believe the Bible says we need to do. He tells us we need leaders. And when people think that, well, I can lock myself in my house and I'm going to study it myself and that's what I'm going to do, you have a scattered flock. You don't have a unified flock. God wants unity. And so it's very important for us to understand what God has given us and how He wants us to function and how we can be a blessing to one another and to this community and even to evangelists that leave or that we support in other parts of the world. But to me, verse 28 is a key verse. As we look at chapter 21, and it's a key verse when we look at the whole matter of the church, the local church. But in chapter 21, the first thing that we want to notice here is the importance of a straight course. The importance of a straight course. It says there in verse 1, "And it came to pass that after we had gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course." The importance of a straight course. The Apostle Paul had a plan. And he needed to know whether that plan was of God or not. That was important. He needed to know that. But he also needed to know how to keep that course. And as we look at this passage, we see him, first of all, it seems in verse 1, that he's on a small ship, and this ship that's only traveling by day, and it's stopping at these different places. In verse 2, he gets on a larger ship, and this ship is able to carry cargo. And so he travels with this ship until they come to Tyre, and at Tyre, the ship it finds a port there, and it's going to drop off its burden there. And it's going to pick up another load there as well. And they're taking 7 days at Tyre to make this change. And so while they're there, the Apostle Paul has some time to spend with the disciples in verse 4. "Finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." Now, it's important for us to notice here that these men, these disciples, they're not people that are trying to tear down the Apostle Paul. From everything that we know of them, they're godly individuals. They want to help the Apostle Paul. And they believe that there's danger ahead for the Apostle Paul, and they're trying to encourage him not to go up to Jerusalem. They didn't say anything to the Apostle Paul they didn't already know. If we go back to chapter 20, we see there in verse 21, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." So they're telling him here that he shouldn't go up to Jerusalem because there's danger there. And he already knows that. He's already been told that by the Holy Ghost. There's danger. Anywhere he goes, he can expect to find opposition. Trouble. That's the nature of the ministry. That's something that can be expected if we're going to honor God. There's going to be trouble. That doesn't mean that the Apostle Paul is looking for trouble. And it doesn't mean today that we should be looking for trouble. But the reality is that if we're going to serve God faithfully, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be those that want to hear. There's going to be those that are going to get saved. But there are also those who don't want to hear and want to shut down the messenger. They want to stop this. In our text, we noted that these disciples spoke to Paul through the Spirit. And there's a need, again, to know God and to understand His leadership in our lives. You may recall in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 13, there was a prophet of God there that God sent from Judah to Israel to speak to Jeroboam, the new king of Israel. A king who had forsaken God and who was leading the northern tribes of Israel into idolatry. And this prophet was sent by God to warn Jeroboam. And then he was told not to stick around, but after he gave the warning to leave and go back to Judah. In that account, we read that that prophet was faithful. He did warn Jeroboam. Jeroboam wanted him arrested, stuck out his hand, and as he did so, the Bible says that hand withered. He couldn't pull it back in. It was out there. The altar, the prophet was given a sign, the altar would split in two, and the altar split in two. The prophet was faithful. But there was another man in Israel, a false prophet. This prophet of God left, headed back to Judah. The false prophet heard that he was there, sent his sons to go and get the man back, and said, God said, come back. And so this true prophet listened to this message from the false prophet and went back to that other false prophet's house. He disobeyed God. You see, he had been given a clear message from God. He was doing well with that message. But someone else came along and said, the Lord said. And he thought, well, okay. But you see, one of the things that we must understand is that God is not the author of confusion. And that man had been given a clear message from God, and he'd have been wise to stick to that message. Because he didn't stick to that message, he lost his life. Again, it's very important to know God's leading. Here in our text, we have the Apostle Paul, and I believe that at this point, the Apostle Paul is doing right. He's heading for Jerusalem. He's got a purpose in going there. He's been collecting an offering for the church in Jerusalem because of a famine in Jerusalem. He wants to deliver that offering. He's got a task to do. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 21, it says, and after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 11, God encourages the Apostle Paul and says, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. I believe that in the Apostle Paul's travels here that we're looking at today, Acts chapter 21 and verses 1 to 14, the Apostle Paul is following God's leading. These other individuals, they're hearing a message which is not different than what the Apostle Paul already knew, but the problem is they're drawing the wrong conclusion from that message. They're telling the apostle in verse 4, and we'll see that further on as well, they're telling him that he should not go up to Jerusalem. But he's got a task to fulfill in Jerusalem. And again, it's very important to know God's leading. Second point we have is that testing should strengthen our walk with God. Testing should strengthen our walk with God. In verses 6 through 12, we read there, "And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again." So the Apostle Paul here, in verse 5, they've taken walk with him to the shore, to the ship again. And prior to entering the ship, the apostle and his crew, they stop with these people from Tyre, and they pray. Always important. You see, this difference that they had here in verse 4 was not something that caused division. And so they got together and they prayed before the apostle Paul left. And that's important. To understand, as we see in verse 14, to understand the importance of letting God lead and have His way. And so they prayed together. And then in verse 6, we read that they took their leave and the others returned home. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemy and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. The next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. One of the seven, that's a reference back to Acts chapter 6. One of the seven men that God said that the people were to choose, the brethren were to choose, to wait on the widows and the tables, look after the more physical needs of the church so that the apostles could continue to preach the gospel. We don't know how come this Philip ended up in Caesarea, but it is possible that he's there because of the persecution that arose out of the killing of Stephen back in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Where it says there, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." It's possible that Philip was one of those that went everywhere preaching the word. And he settled in Caesarea rather than in Jerusalem. Philip is an evangelist. And we read about evangelists in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. They travel around and they proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ where they go. This man, Philip, in verse 9, he has four daughters, they're virgins, and they prophesy. Again, it is important for us to keep in mind that this is a transitional book, and these daughters who were virgins had that ability to prophesy, but it is important also for us to understand here that these four daughters did not prophesy to the Apostle Paul. God does not use women to direct men's lives. And so we have in verse 10, "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus." Now Agabus, we've read about him before in Acts chapter 11 and verse 28. He's the one that prophesied that there'd be a famine in Jerusalem. And now, in our text here, he prophesies again in verse 11. "And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem." So again, we have the second time here, a man of God, Agabus, a man of God, prophesying, telling the Apostle Paul, telling all that were there, this is what's going to happen to you in Jerusalem. You're going to be bound and you're going to be put into the hands of the Gentiles. Again, he's not telling the Apostle Paul anything he doesn't know already. But again, from this prophecy, everyone that's there in verse 12 is drawing the wrong conclusion. You see, I've said it before here that any godly church cannot run as a democracy. When it comes to doctrine, when it comes to the direction that we need to be going, it cannot be run as a democracy. It needs to be run based upon the Word of God. What does God say? It's not a matter of how many people believe something. For instance, we have in our position here at Harvest Baptist Church, we believe, I mentioned it this morning in Sunday school, but we believe that the Bible says that a man and a woman, when they get married, that is for life. There's no way that a man and a woman can separate and be blessed of God in a divorce. And then even if there's a divorce, there's no blessing in that man or that woman going and marrying someone else. That's against the will of God. So it doesn't matter how many people agree with that statement and say, well, I don't agree with that. I think there should be some room for, I mean, what about, you know, the man was a mean old crook and the wife just left him and now why can't she marry somebody else? That's not the issue. The issue is, what does God say? That's the issue. See, in anything that we do, what does God say? And so it's not a matter of how many people hold to a position. It's what does God say? And here, these individuals, that's Luke is included here because he's the writer and he's using the word we here. So Luke is included here. And all of the people that are hearing Agabus, they're all warning the Apostle Paul and encouraging him not to go to Jerusalem. And they're even using the emotional tack of weeping, trying to get the Apostle Paul to take their side and say, okay, I better not go. But again, the Apostle Paul has a job to do. He has a task to fulfill. He's been traveling on this missionary journey to different cities, establishing churches. And where there are churches, he's been taking a collection for the work in Jerusalem. That collection needs to get to Jerusalem. He's the one that has been taking that collection. It needs to get to Jerusalem. And so he's continuing on. And it is very important for us, again, to keep in mind that God is not divided and God is not the author of confusion. And so it's very important for us to know, what is God's will? What does God say? And especially for the leader, as the Apostle Paul here, as the leader here, he needs to be convinced, what does God say? What we looked at in Sunday school, it's good to take counsel, and it is good to take counsel. It is important to take counsel. But it's important to follow God. And so in this passage, we have two times now that the Apostle Paul has been warned and encouraged not to go to Jerusalem. The third thing that we want to notice here is the importance of yielding to the will of God. The importance of yielding to the will of God. Keep in mind again that these two voices that the Apostle Paul has received from these individuals, they're godly people. They're not individuals that are trying to tear down his ministry. They're godly people. But the Apostle Paul is also a godly man. And it's important to yield to the will of God. In our country of Canada right now, we have one major political party that is preparing for a leadership contest. And as they're preparing for that contest, there's already infighting going on right now. And there's discussion going on as to how much money any candidate can raise for their particular run, and also how much money do they need to have just to enter the race. That's politics. In Christianity, it can't be conducted that way. It's not based on money. It's based on truth. The Bible says that any local church, any true local church, is a house of God. It's the church of the living God. It's the pillar and ground of truth. And in our text, as we've noted already, the Apostle Paul has been warned twice regarding the trouble that he would face in Jerusalem. And he was urged not to go to Jerusalem. And it's natural for man to fear trouble. No godly individual is going to set himself up and say, I'm looking forward to facing the lions, bring it on. Or I'm looking forward to getting a beating, bring it on. No godly individual is going to do that. However, as we look at John chapter 15, God tells us in John chapter 15 and verse 18, it says there, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. So that's the reality that we can expect. We can follow the Lord Jesus Christ through the Gospels, and we can see that there were people that hated him. People that wanted him dead. And they eventually got their wish. Went different than they expected, but they got their wish. Because Jesus Christ came to lay down his life. So it wasn't just that they wanted him dead and they won, but he came to lay down his life. But there's a need to understand that not everyone that we preach to, not everyone that we speak to, is going to appreciate what we have to say. And some of those that do not appreciate what we have to say are going to be in a place of power. They have a place of position where they can make life miserable. It's not just that we've offended that individual, but then they go and they stir the pot. That's the reality. But again, it is important to let God's will be done. A few years ago, there was a man in the United States when the President of the United States was giving a speech, a public speech, and he was lying in that speech. And this man had had enough of it, and he called out, liar, publicly. And he was taken to task for that afterwards and made to apologize for saying that. The man gave in. There are many men today who stand in pulpits, and they lie to the people. They take things out of context. We've looked at that. We had Brother Ball here a while back, and he preached on this whole revival movement that's catching on so much in fundamental circles. And these men that they take verses out of their context, they don't take them according to what the Bible says, and they use them to promote what they believe rather than, okay, I believe this, but now I'm going to go to the Bible, see is my belief right? Instead, what they have is, my belief is right, now I'm going to prove it from the Bible. That's backwards. It is important to know the truth and to walk in the truth. In the Old Testament, we have a man there, we have many, but we have a man there by the name of Elijah. Elijah was a man of God. He was told by God to invite the nation of Israel up to Mount Carmel and to bring a challenge before them. Which God was the true God? Elijah was faithful. He had stood up to King Ahab. He had allowed the false prophets to make their sacrifice and offering first. And then he made his sacrifice to God. And God proved himself to be the true God. After Elijah was given this great victory, little old Jezebel says, "I'm going to kill you." And he fell apart. He fell apart. He had followed God. He had done what God had told him to do. God had given him a great victory up on Mount Carmel. And one woman came along and said, "I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to have you killed." And he fell apart. And God needed to work with him to restore him, to strengthen him, to encourage him. He was a man. He was not deity. And that's the same thing for us today. As we look at this passage, we need to understand that we're people. Agabus was a man. He gave a prophecy, but he was still just a man. The ones that heard that prophecy sided with Agabus. They were just people. The Apostle Paul was just a person. And it's important for us to consider carefully as people to let God lead us in every situation that we face according to His Word, not according to some interpretation of His Word, but according to His Word. God doesn't want us to be those that elevate man. He wants us to be those that glorify Him. And the Apostle Paul was a man here who understood that God needed the glory. He wasn't trying to make a name for himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am, as I also am of Christ." Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So the importance was being of Christ, following Christ. And I believe that in the first part of Acts chapter 21, what we're seeing here is a picture of what true faith looks like. Again, the Apostle Paul was not a renegade. He was not a reckless man. He was simply following God's lead. He understood there was trouble in Jerusalem, just like there had been anywhere else he went. But he was going to follow God's lead. These other individuals, they were given a message that there's trouble for the Apostle Paul in Jerusalem. They were right. There was trouble for the Apostle Paul in Jerusalem. But they drew the wrong conclusion. Their conclusion was, there's trouble there, don't go there. But the good news is, in verse 14, "When he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" The will of the Lord be done. You know, the God of the Bible is a big God. He tells us that. He shows us that. He's a big God. He can look after himself and he can look after his people. And he has a way of working with people to make sure that in the end he's going to be the one that's glorified. And so here these people, they have that understanding. The will of the Lord be done. We've done what we thought we needed to do. We're going to back off and just let God do what he needs to do. And God never makes any mistakes. And the Apostle Paul understood that he was not invincible. But he also knew that wherever he had been, there had been trouble. And he knew that God had brought him through that trouble every time. He was there when Stephen was stoned, so he understood as well that God doesn't always protect his children, doesn't protect them from death. He knew that. But he says in this passage, in verse 13, he says there, I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He wasn't a selfish man. He wasn't doing this for his own glory. He was a servant of God. And it is important, again, for us to see the importance of following God's will. The will of the Lord be done. And with the Apostle Paul, when we look at his life, and we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we see that the Apostle Paul had a conviction in his heart. It wasn't just in his head. He knew who he was following, and he knew where he was going. And he was willing to be used of God along the way to help others to come to know the truth. What the Apostle Paul believed wasn't just in his head, it was in his heart. And it was from his heart that he was working. Now, as we're going to see next week, I believe in this passage, we're going to see that the Apostle Paul, he didn't take heed to himself. He followed the voice of man, and he got into trouble. But in this passage, he's going to Jerusalem. He's got an offering that he's going to deliver to the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was going through a time of famine. And God was using the churches around there to help that church. And so, again, the conclusion that these people drew from everything that had gone on here, the will of the Lord be done. And as we've noted already, the Apostle Paul believed, and from what we see, even from what the Lord told him, he was going to go to Jerusalem and he was also going to go to Rome. And so he was just on the journey that God had given him to go on. The Apostle Paul, God never sets him up as someone to be worshipped. But the Apostle Paul was a man of God. And he was one that was seeking to honor God in his life. Again, counsel is important. Godly counsel is important. The Apostle Paul in this passage was not receiving that godly counsel. These individuals were trying to hinder the Lord's work from being done. And so we need to be careful. We need to be people who are in the Word. We're saved here. We need to be in the Word. We need to be humble servants of God that we can listen to what God has to say. It's very easy. It's very easy to come to the Bible with a preconceived thought and then make the Bible agree with my thought. That's very easy for us to do. And the only solution to that is to walk humbly with God, to know Him and to walk humbly with Him. Not boasting, I'm a humble servant, look at what I can do, look what I am doing, but to simply walk humbly with God, to listen to Him and follow Him, trusting Him to do what's right. God is able, as we've seen in the past already, when the Apostle Paul wanted to go to Macedonia and he was stopped from going there. God is able to stop his servant from going the wrong place. He's also able to guide his servant to the right place. And that's important for us to be walking with God, believing Him and trusting Him, and just allowing Him to be glorified in our lives. If we will listen to God, He will direct us. And we can be a blessing to Him and to others along the way as we follow Him. In Grand Prairie, and as we support evangelists who go to different parts of the world, they too are going to face situations where they are that may not always be easy. Nor will we always face things here in Grand Prairie that are always going to be easy. But it is important, as we see in this passage, that these people were people of prayer. In verse 5, they prayed together. Very important to spend time in prayer and let God lead us. Private prayer is important. The Apostle Paul was a man of prayer. And corporate prayer is important. But we need to be as the Apostle Paul as well in this passage in verse 1, that he had a straight course. He knew where he was going, and he was going there. He had a straight course. God wants you and I to have a straight course. We know what the will of God is for us. We know that it's His will that we testify of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's His will for us. Every born-again Christian, that's the will of God, that we testify of His Son, Jesus Christ. Where we do that, that's something God will reveal to us as individuals. If we're walking with Him, He'll show us. Do we go to Grand Prairie? Do we go to India? Do we go to Mexico? Where do we go? That's God will direct us as we walk with Him. But the purpose is the same wherever we're going. The purpose is to testify of Jesus Christ. And we understand that in the day and age in which we live, it's no different than the day and age that the Apostle Paul lived in. There were people that hated that message. And there are people today that hate that message. They don't want to know the truth. And we are living in our country today, we are living in a time where the lie is being accepted and the truth is being stomped down. That's what we're facing in our country today. And that's why it's so important for us to know God's will. To be obedient to Him and to trust Him to direct us, that we can be a help to others, that they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let us be careful today that our desire is that the will of the Lord be done, that the choices that we make, the direction that we choose, that we are careful that we're following God's will. We're letting Him lead us. We're trusting Him to provide for us as we follow Him. We want Him to be glorified. We want His name to be known. That's for those of us that are Christians. For anyone here this morning that is unsaved, you need to turn to God and be saved. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. And so before you're going to get any clear direction in your life as to where God wants you to be, you're going to have to know Him. And the way to know God is through salvation. Through being born again. That's the way to know God. It's not by reading the Bible every day and studying and studying and studying, now I know God. Salvation comes before you're going to know God. It is important to read the Bible. It's important to believe what the Bible says and to follow Him. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So not only are we born as lost sinners, but if we carry on that path, it just leads to death, that's all. Doesn't matter how much money a person makes, how high up the corporate ladder they climb, the wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. So in this world, in this secular world, things are done by improving on ourselves, getting an education. You believe that your skills are in this area, you train yourself for those skills. You find employment and you get into that employment. You do your best and you manage to get promotions in that field because that's where you're good at. That's how our world operates. But spiritually, it starts with recognizing we're lost sinners. Not by doing, not by going, but by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That's where it starts. Receiving that gift. Can't earn it. Receiving that gift. And then, having received that gift of salvation, eternal life, now we can begin to hear God's voice. Where does God want me to serve Him? And then follow Him. Humbly follow Him. Based on what the Word of God says, follow Him. That His will would be done in our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy Word. We thank Thee that Thy Word is truth, that we can know the truth, we can walk in the truth, we can be blessed by walking in the truth. Thankful again for the ministry of the Apostle Paul, that he was a man who had been saved through putting his faith in Thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ. That he understood that all the things that he had learned before, all those things that he knew, being a Pharisee of Pharisees, that was all dung now. Now he was going to get his direction from Thee. I'm thankful, Father, that we can learn many things from the Apostle Paul, from his ministry, from the words that he spoke, directed by Thee. I pray, Father, that Thou wouldst help us today to be understanding as well that we're not worshiping the Apostle Paul. We want to worship Thee. We want to follow Thee. We want to know Thy blessing in our lives and in our day today. We want to be a blessing to people around us today. Help us to be those that would be people of the Word, humble individuals who would be willing to allow Thee to direct us, that we can be a blessing to others, understanding that if we're going to walk with Thee faithfully, there are going to be those that are going to oppose that. They're not going to want to hear that. I pray that Thou wouldst help us to be those that would be mindful of what is truth, that we would stick to truth and be able to help others to hear the truth, that we might be able to see some of those individuals get saved. We pray, Father, that Thy will would be done in this place and in each one of our lives, that it would be our desire to have the will of God done in our midst and in our own lives. And we pray this morning as well, if there's someone here that is unsaved, that is still trying to work their way into Thy favor, that they might understand that that's a futile task. They might understand that they are born as a lost sinner, and they can't fix that themselves. That they need to look to Thee and be saved through the finished work of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that Thy will would be done in this place, that we would glorify Thee in all that is said and done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll take our hymn books and turn to number 309 in closing. Fill All My Vision, number 309. We'll stand and sing that together, please. 309, Fill All My Vision. Fill all my vision, Savior. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can come to Thee and we can ask Thee to direct us and to open our eyes that we might see Thy leading, Thy hand, and follow Thee. I pray that Thou wouldst help us to be those that would be able to hear from Thee, that we would know Thee as our God and Savior, walking humbly with Thee and allowing Thee to direct us, that we can be a blessing to others. Thank Thee, Father, that we have a God who is far more concerned about Thy name being known in this world than we are, and a God who has chosen to work through people to get that name known in the world. Help us to trust Thee to lead us and to direct us, and that we would be faithful to Thee in allowing Thee to show us where Thou wouldst have us to serve Thee, and that we would be faithful in making Thy name known in that place. We pray again for anyone here that is unsaved, that they might see the need to turn to Thee, to be forgiven, to be saved, that they could know Thy blessing and peace in their hearts and begin to serve Thee and glorify Thee with their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Lord bless.